Your recording has joined the conference.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Circle of Respect Book Club series. We're joined today by author Dr. Alan Bean, author of Goodbye Bully Machine. Dr. Bean, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on the program.
Oh. All right, so let's just dive right in. This book is a really great, fun, and educational read for children. It's not only a book that carries a great message throughout the entire story, but also has the most interesting and beautiful artwork that really captures the reader. So what motivated you to write this book, or what inspired you to write it?
Well, actually, my motivation comes from the life of my son for all my books. He was bullied in seventh grade in high school, and it was very destructive to him. And it is very destructive to the well-being of kids. And even to the adult years, at the age of 23, my son was still hurting and suffering from this, and he turned to drugs. He took meth 1 week, and it killed him. He's been dead about 10 years now. And I just believe there were a lot of students who, for, you know, legitimate reasons, many of them were afraid to help him, and we now know how to help students to help others. So I just want other students to understand that they have a lot of power and they can help others. And I guess also my granddaughter was some motivation, Emily Turner. She's in second grade, and she tells me a story about a girl who was being bullied on the playground. She said she was really small and had trouble playing on the playground, and these three other girls came over and started to make fun of her. And my little second grade granddaughter turned and looked at them and said, "Leave her alone." And all three of those girls just walked off. So I think it's very important for students to know that they can stand up for others and that we know how to help them do that.
That's great. You know, at a young age that she was able to stand up and do that.
That's right. That's right. Can you? I mean, if a second grader can do that, couldn't a fifth grader, a sixth grader, a teacher, you know, do that? And she's really an inspiration, I think, to others.
Absolutely. You know, throughout the whole book, you have what you call the bully machine. And you talk about how certain things like mean words, cruel actions, and rumors are always that this bully machine grows even bigger and even stronger. So can you talk a little bit about what the bully machine is and how you came up with the idea of it?
I can. Actually, the idea came from the co-author of the book, Debbie Fox, who's also an artist who did the artwork in the book. And she works with kids one-on-one in small groups. And actually, the concept itself as a machine was hers. But as I'm going to, it's a great concept because as I go out into the schools, you know, I've been told over and over, you know, this has happened so long in our schools, it's just like a constant hum. And that humming, to me, is like a big machine that's operating in the school. And all those things that you mentioned, all the hurtful, embarrassing, humiliating things, threatening things that kids do, they're like parts in a machine. And if we can just start eliminating those things, we can break down that machine and stop the humming in our schools and laughing and going along with it and not responding. Even teachers participate in ways that allow the machine to keep running. Sometimes teachers, unfortunately, do ignore the problem. They don't want to be involved, or they're afraid to get involved in the problem because they may be bullied, or they don't know how to respond. We allow the machine to operate in our schools sometimes by not providing supervision in some areas. There's no supervision in some areas. There's not enough supervision in some areas. There's poor supervision in some areas. And at this day and age, we've got to provide better supervision in our schools, especially in the middle school and the high school, and that's a real challenge.
That's a really good point that, you know, a lot of times people just kind of stand to the side and let it happen. And, you know,
right.
We know that bystanders can play a very important role in bullying prevention. And you touch on that a little bit in your book about bystander intervention. You mentioned that bullying doesn't happen without people who act like it's okay. So can you discuss a little bit more about what you mean by this and the importance bystanders can really play in bullying prevention?
Sure. Again, sometimes kids don't know how to respond. Sometimes kids go along with the bully because it's somebody that's powerful and appears to be independent, and they admire that kind of person. And they're afraid to be bullied themselves, so they go along with it. So what we've got to do in our school is to empower the bystanders. And it's not enough just to tell kids you need to stand up for one another. We've got to teach them how to do that. We've got to show them the pain. We've got to help them understand they've got to prevent this pain from occurring in kids, and how they're setting their schools up for possible shootings and other forms of violence. And when I go out and do school assembly programs with kids, I tell them, you know, you're like snowflakes. You don't think you're very powerful, but when you start sticking together, you become very powerful. And, you know, I see snowflakes falling while I'm traveling, and they don't look very powerful, but I get worried when they stick together because I know they are powerful. And you know, I'm so encouraged because, you know, a lot of good kids are participating in this. And that's the good news. It's the good news because it's those kids who have good hearts that we can change the quickest. And that is so important in any anti-bullying effort. And that's one of the motivations of the book, is help kids understand the important role they have to play.
A great point. I really like the snowflake analogy. That's such a great way to bring it down to the most basic level so that everyone can understand. But oftentimes we hear, you know, when children bully, that the child who is doing the bullying behavior is labeled as a bad kid or a bad egg. So instead of labeling the behavior as bad, this child now has this behavior of being a bad kid, of being a bully. But at the very forefront of your book, you make this note about the importance of labeling the behavior, the bullying behavior, as a behavior that is bad, not the child itself. Can you talk a little bit about the importance of why the behavior of bullying is what should be labeled and not the child?
Right. My background is special education, so I don't like labels at all. And we see labels constantly changing our society. You know, from mental retardation to mentally handicapped to mentally challenged and people with disabilities, placing emphasis on people first rather than the disability. And so that's where part of that's coming from. And, you know, labels aren't that important. They help a little bit with communication across professionals, but it's the behavior that we need to focus on. And that's where, and I guess, too, you know, I had a teacher tell me one time, she was teaching one of our bully-free lesson plans, and later on, she told a little boy she thought he was a bully. Mm-hmm. Well, this little fifth-grade boy started to cry and says, "I don't want to be a bully," you know, because he now was aware of what that meant. And so I think we just need to be sensitive to the use of the terms. And there's also self-fulfilling prophecy. I don't like the term victim because kids, you know, it almost implies that you are helpless. And in a way, you know, of course, there's always a power imbalance in bullying situations.
Right.
But there's help out there, and we can teach kids how to help themselves as well. And so I guess those are the things that come into play in my thinking when I make that kind of statement. We just need to focus on the behavior of kids. That's what's really important. And think of them as people first and not label them with something.
That's a really fantastic point. And one of my favorite things about your book is how you really support youth leadership as a way to prevent and stop bullying. You know, oftentimes we forget the power youth can have to make such a positive impact and to make such a big change. And at the end of the book, you actually give a number of suggestions on how kids can help and get involved in their schools and their communities to help prevent bullying. But the great thing about your suggestions is that the kids are the ones who are really taking the lead in bullying prevention, not just the adults. So can you talk a little bit about the importance of youth leadership and bullying prevention at any age?
Sure. Again, you know, placing emphasis on student involvement, adults only see about 10% of the bullying that's occurring in schools. So we've got to have their involvement. And it's good to use the leadership if they are good examples of modeling the golden rule. You know, they treat people the way they want to be treated, or they treat people the way those people want to be treated. And they have a lot of power and influence in the school. It's important that we help kids understand that they need to be influential people in a positive way. And they can have power. If they desire power and recognition and control, they can get that through doing good things, not bad things. And you know, I had one middle school ask me to come in and train 30 of their school leaders. And we talked about bullying and how destructive it was, how it put schools at risk. And then we talked about assertiveness skills that they could use as bystanders on behalf of the victim. And then the principal did something really neat. She actually gave our bully-free student pledge to those student leaders, and they went out into the school and asked students to sign the pledge, rather than that coming from one of the school administrators or a teacher. My son-in-law played basketball for a university. He brought me an article one day from Sports Illustrated, and the very last article in that magazine was about athletes against bullying. And unfortunately, many times we do have athletes involved in bullying situations. So if we could teach them to be a positive influence, take their recognition and fame in the school, if you will, to use it in a positive way, it could be very, very powerful.
That's such a good message. And as a whole, your book is just a great message the whole way through. It's a fantastic resource. It's a fantastic resource for kids to learn about bullying and everything that they can do to prevent it. But in your opinion, just to wrap this up, what do you feel is the most important step a kid can take to help prevent bullying?
Well, I think one definitely is to report it to an adult. And I know there are a lot of reasons they don't do that. And they need to find a trusted adult that they can report it to. And they need to realize reporting bullying is not tattling, it's not ratting, it's not snitching. When you rat on somebody, you tattle on somebody, you're trying to get somebody in trouble. And when you report bullying, you're either trying to help somebody, yourself, or some other student. And that's what a good human being should do. So they shouldn't hesitate to report it. I think they should encourage their own school to be learning about this and implementing a school-wide program. We have a bully-free program. We have like 30 lesson plans at every grade level, preschool through high school. And it takes a school-wide effort, every teacher involved in this. And they need to get their parents interested in trying to help their schools make their school bully free and to be involved in that program in any way that they can. And I think, you know, the important message for kids who are being bullied, the important thing to know is to realize, one, they don't deserve it. Mm-hmm. Nobody deserves to be bullied. Now, sometimes victims of bullying need to change their behavior. They might irritate others, disrupt others. They need to change, but they do not deserve to be bullied. The golden rule doesn't say treat people the way you want to be treated if they don't irritate you, or if they don't disrupt you, or if they have the same beliefs and values, you know, or if they have the same religion. It's just same color of skin. It doesn't say that. And they just need to realize that it's never right to mistreat people.
Absolutely. That, you know, that golden rule is something we learn when we first learn to walk or we first learn to talk, and it's something that really does apply throughout your entire life. You don't realize it when you're that young, but it really does apply to just about everything.
That's right. It's a common thread in all our program, preschool, even through high school, because it's so critical. And what's critical is that it not just be a belief or something that somebody can quote. It has to become a conviction. And that means you let that belief control your attitudes, your thoughts, and your behavior. And that's what we hope to do with the program, by just showing kids how to make it real in their lives, how to give that belief legs, you know, let it walk in their life.
Okay. Well, I hope everyone goes out and picks up this book to read. This book is the perfect story to read to your students, youth, or your children about bullying. They not only learn about what bullying is, but also they learn the ways in which they can help prevent and stop bullying in their school or community. So if you haven't picked up Dr. Alan Bean's book, Goodbye Bully Machine, please visit www.circleofrespect.org to learn how you can order your copy today and to learn more about the author and his book. We have this book featured as our February issue of the Circle of Respect Book Club. Dr. Bean, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you, and I will encourage people to visit our website, bullyfree.com, and there's a lot of tips there for parents and for kids and teachers as well.
Perfect. We will also have that up on our website, so to make sure that everything is there and people have access to everything.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.